tangentially talk about.
So they dropped some new trailers, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they had like a... It wasn't a convention, obviously, because everything's quarantined, you know. The pandemic and whatnot. So they had a Comic-Con, virtual San Diego Comic-Con, but then DC also did like their own version of some kind of virtual thing. And that's where they released the trailer for the Batman and the new Wonder Woman trailer.
Okay.
But then Warner Brothers also released a Dune trailer recently. So Warner Brothers has really been kind of showing off a lot lately.
We need to talk about the balls of the DC universe.
Yeah.
They're like, we've never really put out a movie that was that good, but we think we need our own Comic-Con.
Yeah.
We're like too good for Comic-Con, even though we have never made a good movie except for Wonder Woman.
Yeah. They did come out strong with what they've... I mean, we'll have to see when the... You know, if the movies are good once they come out, but the trailers look solid. Like, that Batman trailer looked really good. The Wonder Woman trailer looked pretty good. But that looked like it was going to be good anyway. And from previous teaser trailers. What else? What am I missing, though? There's like a Suicide Squad kind of like the James Gunn Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
There's like some kind of like behind the scenes thing. And that cast, there's like 20... people in that main cast is crazy.
I know, I felt like it just kept adding them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that actually looks pretty good. You guys seen any of that?
I haven't seen that one. Yeah. I did watch the Dune trailer, though. I am very intrigued by the Dune. Mm-hmm. I am excited for it.
It was the big sandworm at the end that did it for you?
Well, who doesn't love a good sandworm?
Matt apparently does.
I'm very proud of Jason for not taking that where he wanted to.
Yeah. Eventually.
You guys, I haven't read those books. Have you guys, I know you were talking about it. Have you read any of the...
I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast.
I knew you had
it's
read
a really,
it.
It's really good, but it's bizarre. Like, there's something about old science fiction that's just different than... it. And the weirdest thing about the book is it puts you right into the world, and it starts using all these terms, and it never defines the terms. Hmm. You either have to like look them up in the glossary or just kind of figure them out.
Yeah. What do you think of that approach?
No, it's very hard. It's a very hard book to read, to be honest. Yeah. But it's good when you get through it. But it's like if they called shoes like woozies. And the whole book, they're talking about their woozies. And you're like, what the fuck
but
is a
never,
woozie?
But
like,
they never take a minute to explain it. Yeah.
It is a very hard book to read, but it's really good.
Is it lengthy? I've
never read the follow-ups either, just the original.
There's an expanded.
It was one of those things where when you finish it, you're like, that was really good. Don't know if I want to subject myself to that again anytime soon.
Okay. And are you keeping, I know you famously with the Star Wars.
I don't know. Like, I know the story, so I'm not that worried about spoilers. Yeah. I don't watch trailers that much anyway.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll check out the trailer since Ian thought it was so cool.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it, so it was
I know
like,
very little.
Sci-fi, super
Ian's
sci-fi.
Like, well, in context, my opinion doesn't matter, but yeah. Let's...
they have a movie before. Right? There's an older.
They've had a couple.
Oh, yeah, they have had one before.
And
yeah,
the big one was in 1984 or something like that. The David Lynch
old.
Film. But that one has some hardcore fans to it. But it's also famously just really weird. We were talking about that the other morning. This one looked great. I mean, having the trailer looks... I wouldn't have to try hard to describe the trailer to you, Matt, because Denis Villeneuve is directing. So it's like... If you look at a movie like Blade Runner 2049, and you're like visually it's going to look super slick. And So... Warner Brothers is kind of flexing lately, even though their track record is a little bit wonky in certain periods of
they have a pretty big year, right? Because, I mean,
Tenet
released,
came out.
That was Warner Brothers, Dune.
The Wonder Woman and all the other DC movies,
Right.
I feel like I'm leaving something out of the DC fandom stuff, but I guess there was some kind of little teaser thing with The Rock and his character from the Shazam universe. Black Adam, I think it is. They had a little, not a trailer, but they had like concept art.
Mm. Okay.
And that's a movie where, it'll be
wait,
starring.
Was The Rock in that movie?
No, not in Shazam, but within that, the comics and stuff of Shazam.
Right, there is.
There's
I didn't know if there was like
Black
an Easter
Adam.
Egg or something.
Yeah, they might have been.
Did you not watch Shazam?
No, I did. Okay. I'm just sitting here like racking my mind trying to figure out when The Rock appears.
That was well, a what fun did your movie?
I was gonna say you said Wonder Woman was the only good movie they put out, so you didn't think Shazam was a good movie?
I thought like nothing they've done has been on par with MCU. That's all.
So you're
It was a totally okay movie. Yeah. That's how I would describe it.
It wasn't knocking out of the park. You're like, holy fuck! Like, wow, that was pretty.
Wonder Woman's the only movie they've done that has been better than okay.
I liked Aquaman, but I've never wanted to go rewatch it right away. I thought it was decent, and it especially when your bar is that low for, because I mean it's fucking Aquaman. Like, I don't expect that much out of, you know. So, but what I got was pretty. It went above the standards that I set for
it. Was fairly impressive,
I fell asleep during
It is a little lengthy, too, and it's a CG, I don't know, it's a CGI fest, but it's also
underwater, so. I thought
the
acting was so bad in that movie. That was what took me out of it.
A little bit rough, but I do like the visuals Jason Momoa pretty good. Way better than Mike Pence as Aquaman, so.
I don't get it.
Mike Pence looks like he's like the generic white guy. Was that always Aquaman? It's always
got him.
All right. All right. With that, let's do some intros, man. This is Mind Grenade episode 228. We are your hosts. I'm Hector.
I'm Jason.
Matt.
Ian.
Mind Grenade is a pop culture-based show that dives into TV, movies, music, comics, since I left it out last time, I'll do it twice this time, and a whole lot more.
Best intro ever. We got movies and music.
And well, that was my bovine pronunciation of movies.
Movies about cows?
Yes.
Huh, how many are there?
Like, well, Twister. Wasn't Twister about a flying cow? Pretty much the whole premise was flying cow.
That was the first superhero movie I watched.
Twister.
Yeah.
Okay.
That whole movie was like built around that one scene.
Yeah, it was.
The cow's flying in the tornado. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever watch a movie and just wonder that? You're like, I bet the director thought of this scene and then designed an entire movie around
just based
it.
On one scene concept.
Snakes in a plane.
I'm sure it's
probably
happened.
Read a news article about a cow ending up in someone's yard after a tornado.
This is a movie.
Did you know that PETA rioted for months after that release?
Really?
Yeah.
In Portland?
Yes.
I figured.
Boy. They were sticking up for CGI cows.
CGI cows, yeah. I was going to say, that cow looked pretty fake, if I remember correctly, in that movie.
I always love going back and rewatching things in your mind at a time. Like, man, that was so great. Yeah. And you go back and look at it and you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. There's the second Matrix movie when, and I probably brought this up. This is probably the fifth time I brought this up on the podcast. But there's that scene where Neo fights that, like, hundreds of Agent Smiths.
And everyone's made out of rubber.
Yeah. The first time you watch it, you're like, wow. And then the second time, the third time, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute. These are all cartoon characters. They're all rubbery.
A bunch of Gumbies.
You realize it's like hundreds of Stretch Armstrongs actually fighting.
That's I watched a YouTube video the other day that was kind of tracking the technological progress of Pixar by going through all their movies in order.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I haven't gone back to watch any of them, but the old Pixar movies, like, everyone's made out of plastic.
Yeah.
And I would love to watch all the Pixar movies in a row just to, like, watch the progression. Technological progression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Please, Jason, go.
No. I was just going to say that Pixar, they started the bar pretty high, though, when they first started that full-length computer animation. It was,
right, but comparing them to themselves.
Right, and
What was their first movie? Was it Toy Story?
Bugs Life? Or
Toy Story.
Was it Toy Story?
Yeah, it was the full-length.
And there's, it's really interesting, all the things that, like, the human brain, like, we see existence constantly, and there's things that you don't think about, but your brain is still seeing.
Like, in the original
Toy Story, no one's clothes move. They're just, like, rigid.
Mm.
And then as you get into the later, especially the more recent Toy Story movies, like, you couldn't even tell they're not real clothes. And just little things like that are, like, really crazy to see. Yeah, like, the fact that in Toy Story, everyone looks like porcelain dolls. Some of them are. But the humans do. And then you look at, like, something like Thanos, and he's got, like, all his pores and, like, imperfections in his skin.
Yeah, because the light refracting and all that stuff, they perfected all that stuff. Like the old Jurassic Park movie where they purposely put that scene where the Tyrannosaurus Rex is chasing the Jeep at night so they didn't have to deal with all the lighting and stuff like that. So, speaking of tech. You guys grew up. Did you guys all? We all grew up on Mario Kart some way or another. Mm-hmm. Like in high school, I played more. Have you guys seen this new Mario Kart game that's coming out?
I've got a beef with the current Mario Kart.
You got a beef with the current one? This is unlike, I think, anything I've ever seen video games do before. It's called Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, I think it is. It comes out next month, October. So there are actually radio-controlled cars that you get. Like, if you buy Mario, you buy Luigi. It's a radio-controlled car. It has a camera on it. So you set up a actual track in your house with these, I don't know, like the flags things that you drive through. So, and it's on your TV. So you drive your actual radio-controlled Mario Kart around your house on your TV, and the camera picks up where you're driving. It digitally renders in the other drivers and the some of the environment into your house, and that's the game.
What? And you play against other people?
You can play, yeah, you can get a Luigi and play two players and have the both cameras picking
up. Wait, but you don't play against, like, people on the internet or anything?
I don't know that part yet. But, yeah, so the radio-controlled car has a camera on it, and your house literally becomes the track. And then it digitally renders all the other drivers and everything in. And you can watch the car itself will actually react. Yeah, you watch it on your screen, and you look like a normal Mario Kart on the screen. But then as the car,
do you watch the toy or the game?
No, you it's the everything's on the TV itself.
So what's the point of the car?
The car is it's like the track itself is your real house environment.
Jason, I fucking hate this idea.
Well, it's already coming. You don't have to like it.
I'm confused by it.
Yeah, right. Look, we'll take this toy car and we'll set it up in the other room over there, and then we'll slam the door and never go in there, and we'll play Mario Kart on the TV.
That's it. That's the car has a camera on it, and then you set up is the track.
So
you're seeing that on your TV.
On your screen,
yes.
Do you see your home as the background?
Yes, your home is the actual track.
So
you're seeing as you're driving around your house.
So you see the dog as it,
the car's. But some of the other drivers and things that are a part of the game are being digitally rendered into the actual your house environment as you're driving through it.
I wish that was online, because then you could just judge the shit out of other people's houses. Like, oh, this guy fucking lives in filth.
Oh, man.
That would immediately turn into, like, porn.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Remember, what was that, was it when it first came out, where it was like, you just randomly roll the dice and someone pops up and you're supposed to, like, chat with strangers. Chat Roulette is what it was called.
Vaguely familiar, yeah.
Oh,
right?
I remember that. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll never forget this. I was like, I think I had graduated or was a senior in college. And I went to visit my brother, and he was a freshman, like, had just gone to college. And him and his friends would sit on this kid's couch with Chat Roulette on this giant big screen TV. And that's what they would do, like, some nights of the week. Just do that. Huh. And Chat Roulette was basically like this. Like, cute girl skips you because you're a bunch of gross dudes. Next, weird guy who, like, wants to talk to you, but you don't really want to talk to him. Next, penis. Next, penis.
What?
Next, weird guy you don't want to talk to. Next, guy literally fucking a blow-up doll. Next. It was the fucking weirdest thing ever. There was you could do whatever you wanted. It was bizarre.
It's like the Wild West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, what? It was funny. Don't get me wrong. Like,
did you chat with some of these blow up doll effing people?
No, like, they're across the room. They just set their camera up. But it was like, you'd be talking to, like, some college girls. You'd be like having fun. Like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then you go to the next one. And then it's just close up of a guy's dick.
This psychiatrist, they asked him about chat roulette, and he says, parents should keep all their children off the site because it's much too dangerous for children. It's a predator's paradise.
Yeah.
This is one of the worst faces of the internet that I've seen.
Did anybody's penis talk to you when you put it on the screen? Because that would be really frightening.
Okay, that's enough penis talk for today. Yeah. Back to my beef with the current Mario. Yeah.
Actually, I have something else penis related for this podcast.
So, Ed, has anyone here ever played Drinking and Driving?
The Mario Kart version?
Yeah.
The Mario Kart
version. The real version has much higher stakes. Yeah, I would not advise it. So it's like a drinking game where you can only drink your beer when you're not driving your Mario Kart character. But you have to finish your beer to cross the finish line. So you're balancing, like, stopping and drinking and then and still winning the race, basically. Hmm. So I was playing that with my friends on the new Mario Kart, and they have removed all, like, the... It's too easy. Like, okay. You can just hold go, and your character, like, doesn't even run into the walls and shit anymore.
Huh. Yeah.
Talking about the one on the Switch?
The Mario Kart 8, I think.
Take, like, the challenge out of it.
It's not like the old Mario Karts where you could just immediately, like, get stuck in a corner and turned around. Like, the game plays itself. Mm-hmm. You'll see, it was not as fun as the old Mario Kart.
I got you.
I suck so bad at Mario Kart, I don't even play it anymore.
I was going to say, Ian sounds like he needs to play this one. No.
It's the Ian version of Mario Kart.
I think it is. It says, Reddit says, is Mario Kart 8 too easy?
Yeah.
So, I'll play that one. Oh, Reddit. I was going to get into iTunes reviews, unless you had something else kind of related to either Mario Kart or penises, or we can save the penis talk for another episode.
Don't do something that's both Mario Kart and penises. I don't think my body can handle that.
No, I brought something that I thought Ian would like, because it both mm-hmm. deals with an elephant. Two things that Ian likes, both elephant and erection. So...
Oh, later.
Later? You want to
do
it later?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you stew on that, Ian? Oh.
All right, let's do the reviews first then.
All right. So on our iTunes little feed there, in the reviews, we've gotten 4 more reviews. And let's read some of these off here. They're pretty positive. I think they were all 5-star reviews. 5-star review from Little LZ5. It says, great podcast. The group of hosts on this podcast are pretty entertaining to listen to. They play off each other well. The guys are always mixing in some funny topics and stories, which we just did a second ago.
Funny is one way of saying it.
The segments, games are always fun as well. Hopefully they keep going and maybe even start doing more. All right. I think the doing more is not yet another podcast, or I think we got our hands full with this.
Or more games?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Did anyone mention less Ian?
Not yet. I got some more reviews here. So maybe. Let's see. IGA Worker gave us another 5-star review. Gave us a 5-star review. It says, amazing. The only way... These get a little weirder as we go. Amazing. The only way to make this better would be to make a movie of the guys talking, then take that movie and audio record it so you couldn't see them. And then post it online so people could listen to it every week. I think that's already what we're
doing. That's what we
minus
have
the movie part that we're not filming. Then it would be truly epic. Make it happen, guys. So, we'll get back to you on that one. And then this one, Ian does get a shout out on this next 5-star review. This is Let Go My Ego. Gave us a 5-star review. It says, Ian Without Noodles is the title of the post. I need more episodes that has Ian with his noodle salads. So, I don't know. We'll discuss that. Whether or not we want more of that going on.
A noodle salad over the weekend.
Mm. Was it a hot or cold
noodle salad? It was a cold noodle salad.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Let's see here. And then the final review I'll read off here is yet another 5-star. It says, great podcast by... RYROHA, so Ryroha. Okay, 5-star review. These guys put together a great podcast. Every time a new episode comes out, I explode in my pants. All right, you're getting more graphic.
That's like every time Ian records a podcast as well.
Mm-hmm. That's why I want paper.
Let's see.
I'm confused. He's talking about diarrhea, correct?
Oh man. I didn't realize the bodily fluids would end up on the iTunes reviews.
So I get it. So we're so bad that he shits his pants.
Yeah, that's okay. It.
Thank you, sir. We're glad.
Let's see. This one gets a little bit lengthy.
And so, or madam.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Maybe they should rename it Scrotal Grenade. Oh, so that kind of tells us what kind of exposure. Man. But we need more episodes with the guys, although I'm not sure my household can handle the extra laundry. All right. So that was a positive review. Mm-hmm. 5-star. Very enthusiastic, but a little bit too enthusiastic.
Huge fan of.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We can discuss this, guys, but I don't think scrotal grenade sounds like a fun thing.
No, it sounds very painful, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks for the iTunes reviews. They've been coming a lot. I should probably back away from that. They've been prolific lately with the frequency of reviews. So we appreciate that. All 5 stars too. So thanks so much there. And we can move on there. Do you guys have any more stuff? I know Jason, you've got a bunch of. You were telling me the other night you had a bunch of stuff kind of backed up.
Mm-hmm.
He's constipated.
Go from pants explosion to Jason being backed up.
We got to make him less backed up. So.
Oh, man.
What do you got, Jason?
Well, I can do the elephant thing real quick.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so this... I don't know where I encountered this, but this is... there was a review of a zoo in Milwaukee that she gave the review 1 star because of an elephant. This is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever read. So we've talked about on this podcast how people giving things 1 and 5 stars for ridiculous ass reasons. Mm-hmm. Well, here's
is this like a biblical a Karen? That's where I feel like this is going.
So here you go, Ian. Here's your elephant thing. So here's the review. It says, okay, so first off, me and my family love to visit all different types of zoos, elephants being my all-time favorite. When we took my daughter to see the elephants, I was mortified by the absolute lack of care and concern. This elephant had the largest erection I've ever seen. My daughter became asking me what that was, and she's only 3. If the staff took care of these poor animals and relieved them, maybe then my 3-year-old wouldn't be asking about a gigantic elephant erection. 1 star.
Oh my God.
What?
I wrote that.
You wrote that, yeah.
So is she soliciting prostitution services for...
I'm not for sure it would be better if you're relieving elephants
where is this
for
review?
3-year-olds.
Huh? Does it sound like on Yelp or something?
Yeah, this is, look. So the
zoo should respond.
They should, yeah.
If you would like to volunteer to masturbate our elephants, we will gladly accept the help.
Does the elephant start to, put 2 and 2 together and be, incentivized, he's like, yeah. Every time I, and...
Someone takes care of it every time.
Yeah, man. So... That's crazy. Where was this at? Did it say where?
Milwaukee County Zoo. Yeah,
That's where we need to go.
That's where you go.
That can
for
be our first
elephant erections.
Our first vlog, guys. We'll all go look at this elephant
video
erection.
We'll do. Oh man.
Hey, it's the guys from Mind Grenade. Look at this dick.
Oh man, yeah. I think.
So speaking of video games earlier, have you anybody else watched the documentary on the history of video games called High Score on Netflix?
Mm-mm. No.
Is it new?
It's fairly new, yeah.
Real quick, Jason.
Yeah.
Throw this out to all you guys. Which one of you guys will watch something because it's promoted on that the rankings on Netflix on the so I can make fun of you is why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Which one?
I'm guilty of it.
Okay.
I have done it too.
It's ranking number one on the, let me
tell you my reason behind it.
Yeah.
There are some times that I don't want to spend fucking 30 minutes scrolling through to find something to watch. Sure. I don't even watch. I just want to pick something. If I got food right there, I just want
to
watch something.
He's ready
quick.
To go.
Just, wow, that looks interesting. Whatever.
But I would also add that while most of it is trash, every good thing that Netflix has ever done has been on that list.
Right. So objectively, if you're looking at of a short list of things to watch, I feel like it's reasonable.
So you have like a 90% chance of getting shit. However, 100% of all good things are also hidden in that list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So all right. So I'll let Jason.
No, I think High Score was on it at some point. That's not why. I don't know why how I encountered it. But
hey, no need to get defensive.
But I don't think I've ever seen a documentary devoted just to the history of video games before. So I was like, this is pretty interesting. It is. It's not. I wouldn't say it's a great documentary because it doesn't. Video game history is pretty. Even though it's really, they haven't been out that long. If you think about it, it's still pretty extensive as far as you want to go into all the different types of video games and how they came about and their history and the mods and all that stuff. But it does a pretty good job of overviewing some of the history. It starts out with actually an interview with the creator of Space Invaders, which was pretty good. And it goes all the way to like the modern fighting games and things like that. It talks about all the...
Does it discuss how we've gone from like playing Pong with your brother to getting called a pussy by a 12-year-old?
It does. It talks about the Atari and how the Atari almost basically lost, like the video game market almost collapsed on top of Atari. And
then Nintendo came along. Have you ever heard about the E.T. game? The greatest video game failure of all time.
Yeah, that's a good story.
They talk about that in the documentary.
Somewhere in this country, there's like an entire garbage dump just full of E.T. cassettes.
And they talk about that as like the Atari and the E.T.
game almost killed the entire
video games, the home console video games.
Thanks, Spielberg.
it also gets into the arcades and how like when arcades first came about, they were really popular. But what the problem was is like, people got too good at these early arcade games to where they could play for hours on one coin. So then these guys came along. They were like college dropouts, I think. And then they designed these mods they could put on these arcade games to make them harder so that people would lose more and put in more money, because they noticed that their profits in these arcades were declining rapidly. And that's what they found out, is people became too good at these.
People are having too much fun.
Yeah.
Capitalism doesn't agree with this.
We need more money. So it talks about these guys and actually how they got taken to court for touching some of these properties.
Oh, thank God you continued that sentence. It
could have taken a weird turn.
Yeah. Anyway.
Show me here where you touched the video game.
So it talks about the Nintendo Sega battle of the 1990s between the two consoles, and it talks about like, you know, the fighting games, Mortal Kombat, and even like them being talked about in legislation, whether you're appropriate for kids, like Night Trap, those kinds of things. So it covers a lot of the stuff. It's pretty good.
When you're kids, video game magazines, was that a thing?
Oh yeah,
you guys used?
It talks about the Nintendo Power magazine. Those
game
were great.
You'd
open up the magazine and you could see like the layout of, because a lot of it was side scrollers then. You could see the entire environment, the entire maps of these games. That I was like, man, this is awesome.
I mean, even up into like the early 2000s, like there wasn't like this huge industry of trailers because YouTube wasn't a thing,
right?
And video games were rarely, if ever, advertised on TV. So the only time you'd know what was going to come out was through these magazines, really.
Now it's this whole the Twitch and all this other. It's a whole industry on top of just the video game industry itself. Just, you know, the consoles and the games and everything else. And you have this peripheral industry of people playing the games.
Now you can just go on the internet, you can YouTube how to beat something, or you can go... Back then, Nintendo actually had a call service. You could call into Nintendo and try to figure out if you were having problems with a game.
Oh, like a tip
line. And they had these...
Yeah.
I can't remember what they called them. They were customer service
people. It was
essentially
a tip line.
Dorks?
Yeah. Well, but they had a name to them. But anyway,
Nintendorks?
They basically... That's what these people did for a living. They took calls all day long to help people get through games. So
what you're missing here is you have to punish A B down up down up left right left right whatever else the code is.
Have you guys since the advent of YouTube gone back and looked up a playthrough of a game that you weren't able to complete when you were a kid? For me, it was Shinobi, the original Shinobi ninja fight game, the side scroller. The original one, I couldn't finish it, and I've gone back and like watched. Mm-hmm. But do you guys have a game like that where you guys went and tracked down the YouTube video of the entire to see what the game was?
Battletoads.
Several, Battletoads being one of them. What, Ghosts and Goblins?
Oh, Ghosts and Goblins.
So the original
fun,
Battletoads was literally impossible to beat.
Unless you had like a game
No, you had to memorize. And like the thing is, in order to memorize it, you'd have to get there, probably waste all your lives, play the whole game again, waste some more lives. And the whole time you're like filling out your little notebook.
That's horrible.
And like old video game developers used to be dicks.
There was a bunch of those old side-scrolling Nintendo games, some of them, or even, I guess Top Gun wasn't really a side-scroller. I don't know what you'd call it, but... some of those were they never were complex in what you were doing, but some of them were super hard. But
Another one that comes to my mind, I feel like we talked about this before, maybe not. There was a fighter pilot game for the Sega Genesis.
Afterburner?
And I could never land on that fucking aircraft carrier.
That's the same thing as Top Gun. Yeah, I remember Afterburner. Yeah.
The sea. You'd like fly the mission and then fail, and you just crash into the sea. And that game made me so mad.
It's awful.
That, and then, was it the player guides used to go browse at Best Buy? You know, like all the games, and they had a section of just like what are those books called? But like the walkthrough.
Oh, yeah, books. Yeah. And wow, I forgot about that too. Yeah.
Cruise through them and.
What a scam, man. It's like, because, yeah, I think Final Fantasy VII had the same deal where the game wasn't enough. You had to also spend $20 on the book.
On the book,
the guide or whatever. It's like, man.
I think one of the interesting things that is that video games have been out, 40 years?
Probably about 40, yeah.
The price of a video game is the same as it was back then as it is today. Still with $60.
Counting inflation and all that stuff. But yeah, so like an average game right now is like a 60. Brand new $60.
It's the same. I mean, even back then, I mean, like, I remember buying
I remember there was a big 60. Deal when they went from, I think, 2 to 3 or 3 to 4. I'm talking PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
That they went from $50 to $60. Mm-hmm. People fucking lost their minds about 10, it.
12 years ago, something like that.
I need my $10. How am I supposed to buy the guide?
I do like the... because I play on the Xbox there, and the online kind of a game store where they'll have old games for like it's special
super
like,
cheap.
You I just buy bought like a Need for Speed from 2015 for like $20 uh-huh. for $19.99, and it's fairly new. I mean, and so that's kind of cool that there's so many games out there that they'll re-release classic ones online for a lot cheaper and stuff like that. But yeah, I just bought that Marvel's Avengers game, and they had like three different versions, and one's like,
there's like the $9.99.
Yeah, it's like, just give me the straight.
It's the same
$100.
It's the same game, but you get a different color Iron Man skin. $163.
Yeah,
there must be people that buy it though.
I mean, well, so the video game industry has taken a turn from loot boxes, which are like. Some of the shadiest shit that has ever come out of capitalism, I think. Like, getting, 10-year-olds to gamble, essentially, with their parents' credit cards.
Yep.
But now it's, a whale-driven industry where everything is super expensive and they float by on rich people, basically. So, Valorant, the new Riot game, it's very similar to CSGO. You can buy weapon skins. That's, the only cosmetic in the game. It just changes what the gun looks like to you on your screen. And, a whole set costs, literally $75 to $100 for literally just a cosmetic change to your and people buy that shit. It's crazy.
It's the same model as the airlines. They're just trying to get a dollar out of it.
There is a new Star Wars game coming out here soon that's only supposed to be $40, Star Wars Squadron. I had and it's going to be just basically a pilot game, the whole game. I think you can either be a Imperial fighter or the other. I had a game when I was younger on the computer. I think it was just called TIE Fighter.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and I loved that game.
I've never liked pilot games, to be honest. I don't know why.
Okay, well, thanks for ruining it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I had this giant, I don't even, it wasn't a steering wheel, but a thing you could, I don't know. You could hold on to it two hands. You could push forward or pull back for you to fly the TIE fighter. It's it's screwed into the desk.
Did it how could you get it to stay on your lap with an erection?
Well, that's a good question. So it actually screwed.
It's you would get your dad to cut a hole in the bottom.
Okay. So no, it would actually screw into the and clamp onto your desk or whatever, and then you could have your erection underneath of it. And you'd be clear.
So you could, okay. So you just screw your desk.
That's the advantage of having a small wiener, is that you won't touch. So we're good.
Silver lining.
Mm-hmm. I did like
having the joysticks and the attachments. You could buy the steering wheel on the foot pedal for the car games or.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't know what this thing was, but yeah, it was some sort of fighter pilot. I don't know where I got it from, but
some sort of. My cousin had the same thing.
Yeah. I don't know what I don't know what to call it because I don't know what
it's called.
You probably
called it your cockpit, right?
Call it my cockpit.
We just can't stop ourselves.
No, was,
I know.
No, it's just too good.
Okay.
No, you know what? I'm going to blame this on Scrotal Grenade.
Yeah.
You've got us thinking about this stuff. And just totally ignore the fact that we were talking about it before we read the reviews.
We were just talking about drinking games. I think maybe somebody listening to this podcast should play a drinking game. And each time a penis or a dick is mentioned during episode, they have to take a drink. Yeah, or poo. Yeah.
Well, so. I don't know if we want to take on the legal liability.
Yeah, but don't drive.
No, just
you can drive Mario Kart.
It's like there's a game, a Big Lebowski drinking game, where you had to drink. There's a list of like every time he says dude, and there's like three other things, only three things. You couldn't make it 15 minutes into that movie. Hmm. It was just too much. That's what we're doing right now. We're killing people.
Dial back.
Wow, how did this happen? Man, this escalated quickly. Yep. So, lesson. Penis talk kills people.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Right.
But only when alcohol is involved.
HBO Max's Raised by Wolves. Anybody else? Is that what it's called?
Raised by Wolves. Yeah. Ridley Scott and his son
are
involved with it. Ridley Scott, I think, directed the first two episodes, and his son did the third. I'm not sure who's been doing the first.
You make it it's not all at once, right? They just release them.
Right. They released three episodes, and then they just released two more. I've only seen the first four. But it's a really interesting premise, and it's very Ridley Scott-ish. Yeah. It's very sci-fi. Cyborgs, so the premise...
Androids,
yeah. So the premise is that Earth has been ravaged to the point of just pure destruction by a war between both a religious faction and an atheist faction that has basically destroyed the Earth. And it's not like any sort of religion that we know now. It's like this, I don't even remember what they call themselves.
Huh.
But anyway, so the war between the atheists and the religious faction has basically destroyed Earth completely. And these androids were sent with like human embryos to another planet to try to re-establish human civilization somewhere else.
A habitable planet.
Yes. Yeah. So they come to this planet, and then they try to basically raise these kids. And the androids call themselves Mother and Father. And it's kind of eerie and kind of suspenseful and kind of weird, but also eventually the religious faction has also sent out an ark, which comes way later because it takes, you can travel a lot faster when you're just traveling with androids and then with these unborn fetuses basically. So they get there years before. And then eventually the humans that are part of this religion faction come on this ark later. But so
they're after the children. Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to raise these children and then they show up. But yeah, so it's kind of, the storyline is androids trying to raise human children. So that concept plus this new planet they're trying to figure out how to survive on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of aspects to it, but it's kind of dark in a way, suspenseful sci-fi, which so it's very Ridley Scott-ish.
Alien. And all those others.
It's kind of the lot of dark even filmography, like cinematography to it, like a lot of dark backlit scenes and stuff.
Prometheus is a good comparison.
He used that in Taboo as well.
Oh, I don't know.
I love that game.
Yeah. But anyway, now blanking on the actor's name. Oh my god, and I love this guy.
Kyle.
Played Venom.
Tom.
Help me out.
Tom Hardy.
Yeah. So Tom Hardy.
Really lucky.
Yeah. So Tom Hardy played in Taboo. But that show was on like 3 or 4 years ago and it hasn't been canceled, but apparently because Ridley Scott and Tom Hardy are kind of because Tom Hardy was part of the creative process of that show, that they're working still trying to come together to make another season. It's going to happen eventually, it just hasn't yet. So I think it was FX was that show.
What? Give me your thoughts on the show. What do you like about
Raised by
show?
Wolves? Yeah. it's a pretty. I mean, a lot of the concepts that are involved in this show are not that new, I guess. But the way the show does that, as far as factoring in human psychology and the need for the religion part of it and the androids, and the androids are actually were programmed by atheists so that they're trying to teach the children that, you know, so there's like this religious thing to it. There's also this a survival thing to it. There's a suspense of a new planet and some of these creatures, then they're trying to figure out what's on the planet. So there's dangers on that.
Wow.
So there's a lot of layers to this show, but it's pretty well done.
The humans that show up that are after the children are part of that religious faction.
Mm-hmm. They are. So
they don't care for androids. I haven't watched it because I've watched the trailer, but the trailer looks visually amazing. But Ridley Scott's
and the religious faction has androids. The religious faction has androids themselves.
Are they servants more?
They are the ones I think that designed. What do they call them? But the ones that are really destructive, like war androids. Okay. And one of the ones that's actually Mother, who is trying to raise the human children, is actually a reprogrammed war android.
Huh.
So that factors into it because she can arm herself.
Yeah, right.
And they're very, very deadly. So
cool.
This is kind of reminding me. Have you ever seen I Am Mother? It was on Netflix, I think.
Mm-mm.
It's one of those. We've talked about this before because I think they're super cool what you can do nowadays with just like a good low budget sci-fi movie like Moon or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Deus Ex is actually a pretty low budget one. But this is a girl who's raised by what is essentially an AI android inside of a bunker, and she like never knows about the outside. And if I tell you more, it won't be as exciting. But it's a really cool movie.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's because the androids themselves kind of have quote unquote personalities. They are like struggling with their programming versus like what they're doing versus like. Are they like one of them has to? One of them's just a service droid, and says like he has
are
to feel
just
useful.
Played by people.
They are played by people,
so they're not like robot appearing.
They're not. They're robotic.
Is it going to do like the Battlestar Galactica thing, where it's like who's an android and who's a human?
They're robotic in the way they make them look and the way that they act.
Yeah, oh, so they do.
But they are played by actors.
They don't look like Bender from Futurama.
Like, no, they don't. So they are. They're not CGI'd or anything. Or actual like. They are
Jason,
actors.
Stop scooting your chair back.
Oh, I heard that.
Damn.
Would you liken it to a little bit kind of like the mental gymnastics of Westworld, or like what the fuck is going on?
I mean, you know what's going on, but but there's a lot of complexities in like who's gonna survive, how like the androids and like their true motives versus their programming versus. Them being attached to these children they're trying to raise versus their interactions with these people that show up and what?
Stop backing up your chair.
Oh, sorry. But, I don't know. But
do they have milky white blood?
Oh, I think that's part of it, isn't it, right? Ridley Scott?
Yeah. They do, yeah.
Like in an Alien, yeah.
This is totally going to be part of like the Alien verse. It's just like an earlier.
Yeah, it sounds like it possibly could be. Yeah.
Is it, how many times has the word Weyland Yutani been said?
Right.
Zero.
Yeah. But no xenomorphs in this. There are alien, like, fauna, and, like, there's, like, alien creatures on this planet. Cause it's an alien planet, essentially. Mm-hmm. But there's...
We haven't, this planet is so far, they have not encountered any sort of intelligent life.
Right, but there's, like, animals and stuff that are indigenous to this planet.
And it seems like this planet was once more vibrant with life and something has happened because there's like where they're farming is like the remnants of where these giant like worm type creatures had died, and there's these holes, big holes in the planet from these creatures
it seems like there's mysteries there's a lot, but it doesn't seem like it's deliberately like trying to fuck with the viewer the way Westworld was, or Battlestar Galactica, where it's like, who's real and who's not? It's not trying to play a shell game with you. It's a lived-in world, and they're only showing you so much at a time. And
It's a psychological suspense versus survival versus interaction between two factions.
Hmm.
And you'd get flashbacks to the war, too.
On Earth.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. That sounds really interesting. The trailer blew me away.
I also put it in my own Netflix top 10 list.
It's not on Netflix, Ian.
Yeah,
that's why it's my own.
Yeah. You make your rare yawn.
Yeah.
Tell me, Jason, about Doom Patrol. You got into that.
Doom Patrol, yeah.
Oh, can I ask before we go into this? Mm-hmm. Is HBO Max different than HBO Go?
Did one just like end and the other one kind of
as far as
up?
I know. I never used HBO Go.
Because see, I have HBO like on my Amazon, right? But I don't think I get Doom Patrol or Raised by Wolves.
Some of the other that are on HBO Max, yeah.
due to internet restrictions, I have DirecTV, so I can't just have streaming or like only one person could watch TV at my house at this time. But I have HBO through DirecTV, and that gave me access to HBO Max.
I need to figure this out.
So you might want to look into that. So, but yeah, Doom Patrol is the kind of there are superheroes, I guess.
It's like goofy, right?
Yeah, it's right up my alley as far as the approach to it. And the first season, of course, the main villain is Mr. Nobody, and it's Alan Tudyk, and I didn't think I was gonna like this character because he's also the narrator of the first season. But he ended up being like my favorite, almost my favorite character of this first season. And it's the perfect amount of silly with like elevated cinematography because than what we're used to on like the WB from like The Flash and so on and so forth. But
so this is a DC property, right?
Yes,
it is a DC property. Yeah, and
Brandon, it's like C-list. Like Doom Patrol's been around for like since the 60s or maybe even further back in the 60s, but there's been like iterations of it in the comics for years. Like I think the latest one was Gerard Way's Doom Patrol in the comics, and it's like, I mean, a C-list, like, but apparently it's had a cult following all these decades that now, because of all the popularity with superhero TV shows, the popularity's gone on long enough that we've been able to get to some of these C-lister characters.
I say Guardians of the Galaxy really proved
that
nobody has to know the property beforehand, as long as it's good.
That's a great comparison, yeah.
And it's the perfect amount of over the top that I like as far as the show goes. Brendan Fraser, man, Mr. 90s and early 2000s.
He voices, I don't even know if he plays, the big robot guy, right?
He plays a robot, man, but you do get to see him as a person throughout the show, whether it's a flashback or
what's his character's
a vision.
Name? Robot Man, right?
Robot Man.
Yeah.
So, did I not say the big robot man?
Yeah.
Having no idea that was actually the name of the character.
So Cyborg is in the show as well,
yeah.
And I like how Cyborg's played, but I don't think Cyborg was not like an original part of the
comic. I don't know
if
he was part of the book. But,
yeah, I'm not sure. But anyway, but yeah, so season two is a little, I've watched both for season one, season two. Season two is a little more dark. It doesn't really, I don't want to spoil anything. It doesn't necessarily really have a villain like season one. It spends a lot of time fighting personal demons. It spends a lot of time with each individual character. And spending time with their past and them fighting their own personal demons and things that have gone on and things they're trying to reconcile, whether, you know, that kind of stuff. Season two does a lot of that. So it's not as goofy and over the top in some of that stuff as season one, but not as many episodes, but it's still pretty well done. As far as character development, this show is pretty spectacular. Hmm. Like,
isn't Timothy Dalton in it, one of the James Bond actors, isn't Timothy Dalton like the patriarch of the Doom Patrol, the guy in the wheelchair? No,
I don't know that actor's name.
Timothy Dalton? No.
James Bond?
Sure. Yeah, one of the James Bond.
Jason, would you agree with this synopsis? The series focuses on a young boy named Ryder who leads a crew of search and rescue dogs. They work together in missions to protect the shoreside community of Adventure Bay. They call themselves the Paw Patrol. Is that an accurate synopsis of the show?
Paw Patrol.
Perfect. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yep. Perfect. That's it.
Thank you, Ian, for that contribution.
Yeah.
Timothy Dalton. Yep. That is who plays Chief.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Alan Tudyk is in this. Brendan Fraser.
Has Brendan Fraser really done that much stuff in like 15 years?
He doesn't have to, right? He's got that mummy. Yeah, he's got that mummy money, baby.
Mummy money. Yeah.
He was on the Scrubs podcast because he had a huge role in what is probably the most legendary episode of Scrubs of all time.
I didn't know he was on that.
Yeah. And they were kind of talking about how when he was on Scrubs, he was like the biggest star in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember him being in The Mummy, and I guess it was because I was just younger at the time, but I don't ever recall Brendan Fraser being like the biggest star in the world.
It's probably the peak around the Mummy movies is what, yeah. Two seasons of Doom Patrol?
Yeah, two seasons. Yeah.
And you're glad you got into it. It sounds like it if you busted right through all.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Umbrella Academy, I'm going to tackle that one next.
Oh, okay. Umbrella Academy is, I love that show. It's bizarre and weird, and it's not the greatest show in the world, but it's like, it's really good. You should all watch it. But I've been watching Legion.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first season of that. Was incredible.
Did you watch it? Oh, man. I don't know if I like it yet. It's a bizarre show.
It is very bizarre.
You can definitely tell. So the show revolves a lot around mental illness and just dealing with mental illness. And I think that the showrunner and I don't know if it's like typical TV where there's like a new director every episode or how they're doing that, but somebody in the creative upper echelon has...
The showrunner is a well-known, like, he did the TV show for, the Coen brothers, the movie Fargo. The TV show Fargo is the same showrunner as Legion.
There's clearly this artistic decision that's been made to make the viewer feel almost mentally ill.
Yes, right.
We're like, schizophrenia, like, is this really happening? Like, is what I'm seeing happening or not? Constantly. And I've been like two or three episodes in, and it's just too much almost.
It puts you in because the lead character has schizophrenia.
Right. Yeah.
Does it rub off on you? Do you feel worse after watching an episode?
It's such a weird show. I feel like I need to get to more reveals, and then it'll kind of start clicking together.
It does. The first season does.
Yeah, but it's odd. That's for sure. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Speaking of which, I've never played this, but I want to bring it up. There's this video game called Hellblade.
Huh, I never heard of that.
And it sounds like, you know, like just like a hack and slash, like crazy God of War type game. But it's actually this video game that's supposed to be almost a simulation of schizophrenia. And it's like I think it's a pretty short game. And there's not a lot of like mechanics or combat. It's kind of like you're just living through this story. But there is some gameplay stuff too. And it looks gorgeous.
Huh.
And it's like this Viking lady, I think, who's like trying to find her dead family or something, but she might be mentally ill.
Hmm.
And it looks really cool.
For some reason, when you said hack and slash, I pictured somebody playing hacky sack with like a machete.
Welcome to hack and slash. Person with the most toes at the end wins.
Oh, it's a fairly new game.
Yeah, it looks really like visually stunning game.
Okay.
And yeah. The idea of like trying to simulate schizophrenia for people is a cool idea to me because it's, as someone who at work sees a lot of mental illness, you start to realize quickly that most people have no idea how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so more things like that, I think, would be overall net benefit for society.
Hmm.
And that PSA has been brought to you by me, a fucking idiot.
Do you have something, Jason?
There's another HBO show. This is the reason why I haven't started Umbrella Academy. Is I got into two HBO shows that I didn't plan on getting into, but when I saw and read about both of them, I was like, I want to try both these. But Lovecraft Country is...
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Is it like H.P. Lovecraft, though?
Well, there was a book based on his horror series that came out like a few years ago. So the show is actually based on that book. That nods to all his horror and all his book and his elder gods and his universe that he created.
Cosmic horror, yeah.
The cosmic horror, yeah. So this is not a show for Ian at all. So it's horror, it's like magic, it's fantasy, it's history, because this takes place in the...
1950s?
50s,
okay. Yeah.
So,
But it's like it's cosmic horror, like you can't even physically comprehend the gods type of thing.
It's like the very first scene is kind of cool. It's like a dream sequence and you get to see what is kind of looks like an elder god type thing that's being battled. Like Jackie Robinson shows up and hits him with the baseball bat, I think it is, or something like that. But it's a crazy dream sequence that starts off then I think there's one of these elder gods in the dream sequence. I'm not
enough familiar with his work.
I think it's Cthulhu. It's like a tentacle kind of crazy. Right, yeah.
So wait, is the I'm confused. Is the show just like about H.P. Lovecraft the man?
No.
Oh.
Let me see. Okay, so it takes place in the 60s and it's got the kind 50s. Of a race. The main character is a black gentleman.
Yes.
And so there's the background of the racial stuff going on from the 60s.
Yeah.
Civil rights stuff. But then like they're somehow Lovecraft type stuff is happening.
Yeah, it kind of lives within some of his universe. So these characters. So the show starts off with this guy and his uncle and a friend go looking for his dad that's missing, and so that's how the show starts. And these characters are, the show's crazy because these characters are constantly they find themselves in danger no matter where they keep because the story evolves to where, you'll see they're in danger by either. Racist assholes during the 1950s, or they're endangered just by assholes in general, or they're endangered by creatures or mythical creatures, or they're encountered ghosts. And the story evolves. The main backstory is this guy, and I don't want to ruin it too much, but this guy has a heritage that's tied to these people who are like, I don't know if you call them wizards or something that date back. And then
white beard, pointy hat,
yeah, stars not, and moons, not like that, but.
Merlin, yeah.
Anyway, but they keep finding themselves in danger, and he's figuring out some of what's going on with him and but Michael, it's like I'm trying to figure out what I can say. I don't want to ruin it for people. But
one of the added elements to this is that H.P. Lovecraft was actual, like he was a racist dude.
He was a super bad guy.
Yeah. So it seems like they're trying to like not claim, but like they're trying to like it's the same thing we talked about this the other night. It's the guy that created Conan the Barbarian was also a piece of shit racist from that era, but Conan became more like just kind of like was distanced like creators later younger creators kind of. Not reclaimed, reclaim's the wrong word.
Just like
distanced it from the creator. And it seems like that's what they're trying to do with this show.
That's what
show
they're doing here. Yeah,
is like, interesting.
I've always thought
guy,
there's
but,
not enough media around his writing.
Yeah,
because his style of horror is just its own thing.
Yeah.
And especially nowadays, it's like, I mean, where's the expanded universe money grabbers on this one?
Right, it's perfect for it. And I think this is public domain. The one creator or IP that takes a lot from H.P. Lovecraft that people don't connect is Hellboy. The Hellboy universe is very steeped in Lovecraftian kind of horror and stuff like that. But you're right,
it doesn't
seem
to. I just like the ideas of a lot of horrors, like, oh, there's a monster, and you kind of learn where
serial
the monster
killer,
came from or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Lovecraft is like the idea that there exists a horror so great that even learning about it will drive you mad.
Yeah. Which is very interesting.
The video game Control, which is by far, from a story perspective, maybe my favorite video game of all time, came out last year, does this kind of Lovecraftian style cosmic horror mixed with like almost Men in Blackish like 1950s government bureaucracy thing.
Okay.
It's a super cool game. If you guys have time to check out
Control.
The cinematography of the show. I don't always get impressed like cinematography of a series, but this show blew me away.
Hmm.
It's a beautifully shot.
J.J. Abrams. Might have
HBO
with it.
Seems to be willing to throw much more budget at their shows than most other things are, and it really shows.
It does, yeah.
Quality-wise, HBO shows, I think, are still top. Yeah. I mean, they've had that reign for a while.
They slowly ramped it up with Game of Thrones, and it paid off, and then they kind of transitioned that money into Westworld, and now they're like, what do we do with all this money? That's what they do in their meetings.
What do we do with all this money?
You guys can't see, but I'm waving my arms around like a madman.
Speaking of money, did you know there's a song that was written about Ian? I didn't realize this. The Little Dickie song, Save That Money.
Oh, that's a great...
That's a catchy song.
That's a great video.
Fetty Wap.
We talked about this.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that video.
Secretly, that song was written about Ian.
Were you here when we talked about that video?
I don't know.
He was here.
Remember the podcast Amnesia that Ian has?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Okay. There's a couple episodes recently where we didn't have the entire
crew. Goes around like Beverly Hills, like multi-million dollar mansion.
I do recall.
It's a great song, too, on top of the concept for the song and the video. But that was Lil Dicky, not Logic, sorry.
Oh, man, I can't stop listening to the new Logic album.
I haven't listened to it
yet. I have like a sad... my whole life I've been like, I don't like rap music. And now I'm like fucking 32.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm like, what the fuck was I missing my whole life?
I put together a Marshmello playlist recently that I'm pretty proud of. And the one song that's different than the rest of the playlist is Everyday.
His Logic. Yeah.
But it's a Marshmello playlist, but that's the one exception where Marshmello is the feature on that song. That's a great song too, and he has a singing voice. He's not just a rapper.
Logic, yeah, he does a lot of production too. Mm-hmm. I find his this is the other thing about I've always loved music from like a music perspective, like major third, fifth, like what is going on musically with the music,
right?
And I've never cared about lyrics. And then obviously with rap and hip hop, like it's all lyrics.
Well, we were talking, I was. Been thinking about this a lot lately is it there like when you're looking at art and particularly music, there's like the form and I guess the substance, I guess maybe is I might,
and each person gets their own kind of percentage of each. There's like some, and usually the ones who end up murdering the artist are the ones who are way into the substance side of it.
He's like, I don't care what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But
no, they only care what they're talking about. Like, the music is less important.
I did a review for Tenet just recently, and I kind of got a little into Christopher Nolan, where Christopher Nolan, the form part of his art is fucking, the craftsmanship is like the highest like
crisp.
Bar. Yeah. But the substance can leave. I can see some people being like, it's just too antiseptic. It's like there's not enough emotion, or there isn't
or something like Interstellar, which tried so hard to be deep and just came off as like dorm room level philosophy. Right.
Now with music, and I won't spend too much time talking about this particular artist because I can get accused of being obsessive with this particular artist, but Lana Del Rey was just recently mentioned by Bruce Springsteen, saying he says that she's one of the greatest current American writers in music. And I was like, Bruce Springsteen, like, that's kind of, I mean, and Bruce Springsteen's considered one of the greatest writers in music. And I was like, him listening to her doesn't seem like they're not in the same ballpark musically, but I think somebody like him is probably judging her by the craftsmanship more so than, like, I'm sure he's listening to one of her songs and it's her talking about a jilted love, like love affair, something that happened, and he's probably more impressed with the craftsmanship than what she's talking about in the song. So, but you're right. I like the way you just put that, where everybody probably has
their percentage of
the percentages of, like, well, for me, like with movie watching, I probably fall more in, to me, it's picture yourself at an art gallery, and you're just standing in front of this beautiful painting or this really riveting painting, and you're just standing there and just taking it in, and it could be of a underwater landscape or something, and it's like, well, I'm not really into that type of stuff, but I can't believe the lighting and the colors they use, and how did they make it look so interesting or whatever. But like with movies, I'm kind of more that lean more like in that direction. I want to see something that impresses me.
Almost like the technical proficiency.
Yes. But not everybody's that way. Some people just want a happy ending. Sorry. but you know what I'm saying? Like, some people want a Forrest Gump type of movie rather than a Blade Runner 2049. And I kind of fall somewhere in the middle, but lean more towards a 2049.
Yeah, but that movie had substance too, though. But
it did. But it was the Ridley Scott's craftsmanship mm-hmm. is so...
Really is what shines with that
movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that's actually Denny Villeneuve, but same kind of where... Yeah. Where, like, Prometheus is another one, where Prometheus is, like... I can see people's critique of that movie, but yeah. if we're just critiquing the craftsmanship, then you can't... Like, it just... It's just it's
some of the storytelling faltered
yes,
in that
movie. Right, right. So,
Well, so to cycle that back to yeah. the Logic album.
Yes, please.
I knew nothing about the guy.
Yeah.
And to learn, like, his career arc, he started off as, like, this, like, super, like rising out of nowhere yeah. star, right? He put out this really cool first album that was more like a earlier, like, 90s style hip-hop. And then he went into, like, the club rap and started putting out all these albums of, like, popular music, and everyone fucking hated him for it.
Yeah,
to the
yeah.
point where he was, like, critically depressed. And then he said, fuck it, I don't want to be Logic anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he retired. And this album is basically him rapping about that whole, his entire career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as someone who's never cared about the words, like, this album has totally changed that for me. Because you're, like, listening to this guy's, like, life story in an
yeah,
album.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a good album. Yeah. I, like, listen to it every day.
You're making it sound like it's a good balance of craftsmanship and...
Yeah, exactly.
You are kind of... The storytelling part of it yeah. is intriguing, too. Yeah, it's... I'm trying to think of other artists that are... Like, kind of with different ratios of the substance. Where
well,
like
yeah, that, interestingly enough, now the next thing that I've discovered is Mac Miller, which I don't think
yeah.
I listened to him.
He died a while
His
ago, right?
last album, Swimming,
yeah.
he wrote, he basically finished production, was kind of getting ready to tour on it when he died.
Yeah.
And then you go back and listen to that album, and you're like, fuck.
Huh.
There's wow. some, like, heavy lines in that album.
Okay.
It's pretty crazy.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Because he was a guy who, like, struggled with substance abuse and depression his whole
right.
life.
It's been a couple of years since he passed, I think.
Two.
Three? Two? Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody got anything else before we start winding down?
I have yeah. a... On the thing of music, I have a music yeah. recommendation, actually, for Matt.
Okay.
A band called All Them Witches. It's just like a psychedelic...
It's a kick-ass band name.
Yeah. All Them Witches. It's like a psychedelic blues rock band, kind of stylistically 1970s. Like, take a page out of, like, Pink Floyd and Sabbath for sure.
You sold me.
I like them. They were like the first American band to sign to a German like psychedelic heavy record label. What does that mean? Nothing. But I just like, thought I'd throw that out there.
Here's a statistic.
Yeah. So their first album was Our Mother Electricity. They signed to a German record label, and that's how they started.
I love how hearing the name of the band and the name of their first album, like, I already get it.
Sometimes
hear their music. And like, yeah. Our Mother Electricity.
I was reading about these guys, and one of the band members was talking about his creative process, and he's talked about how when they create music, they try to drown everything out because he said, you know, they listen to music too, so they won't listen to music and they won't like read about music. They won't do all these things while they're in their creative process. And he said, and the quote was good because it reminded of us for somehow. It says, "I'd like to think that everything we come up with is just four idiots in a room making noise."
Uh-huh.
I was like, "Oh, that's kind
of
like
it's
my
a description of most good bands."
That is
yeah.
an interesting
yeah.
process though, because I feel like it'd be very hard to not be influenced by music that you're currently listening to. So if you really are liking the song that just came out, you're gonna probably not intentionally incorporate some of that into your own creative.
It's
process.
Also a ballsy choice though. Like, some of the greatest music of all time is directly inspired. Like Pet
yeah.
Sounds would never have happened if the Beatles didn't go
yeah.
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
it'd be. Sometimes you need that like inspiration kind of trickling in from the outside. So
mm-hmm.
I'm now more interested to hear their music, considering yeah. that they yeah. like isolate themselves.
They
like
have
that.
They have a new album this year. I've listened to a couple songs off it. They have a song called "The Children of Coyote Woman," which is like a song about the formation of Rome.
Huh.
So.
It sounds so deep as shit.
Yeah. So it's like it mentions Romulus and Remus in the lyrics
wow.
and stuff.
Yeah.
They're a really interesting band for sure.
All them witches?
All Them Witches,
huh.
yeah.
All right.
But speaking of new albums, we just mentioned Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
He's got a new album that's coming out here soon.
Yeah. There's guys that they're going to keep doing what they're doing until
yeah.
they die.
And
like
that's all they
Bob
know how
Dylan.
To do, yeah.
It's, yeah. I'm very, it's inspiring to. There's just no, regardless of whether or not his album is going to be as big as his album from whatever, you know, Born in the USA, whatever his biggest album was, it doesn't matter. That's just what he's going to keep doing. And I'm sure he does other things too, but that is the one thing that he's going to do till he passes or whatever.
Right.
Willie
Nelson.
Willie Nelson's another one, yeah. There's some people that I just envision you cut them and music notes come out of the wound, you know? It's like Bob Dylan's that way. It's
except it's usually like, oh yeah, all the good ones came out 50 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to do one music shout out too, because I had said previously I was going
to
progressively shout out weirder and weirder music, and then I forgot last time. So this guy's name is Tipper, T-I-P-P-E-R.
Okay.
The song, there's so many songs I could recommend, but I'm going to recommend the song Viscous.
Tipper.
Okay, this is an electronic music producer, and I don't think anyone at this table may like this, but he is, we were talking about substance versus technicality. He is probably one of the most technically proficient electronic music producers in the world. It's one of those things where, like, if you're not a painter and you sit and look at a painting, you're not going to appreciate the same thing that a painter appreciates. Mm-hmm. Like, all the brush strokes and color choices may not be as obvious to everyone else.
Right, yeah.
But this guy, like, if you took, like, your top five favorite electronic music producers, I don't know, Skrillex, Diplo, whoever, I'm sure they would all rave about this guy.
Okay, Tipper.
Yeah, he's incredible. But his music does sound like if you took an entire bag of mushrooms and then watched the universe dissolve.
Wow, all right. We'll play some of that out.
Yeah.
All right,
the
then.
Outro.
Ian's enthralled. Now, he heard bag of mushrooms, and we got Ian back. He's back. All right, Ian. Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
All right.
All right, so do a little bit of housekeeping before we wrap it up here. I wanted to kind of give a shout out to a podcast that reached out to us, Can't Sit Still. Those guys were planning on doing a crossover podcast with them. So it won't be the next episode, but it'll be the following. So it'll be episode 230. And it'll be me and you, Jason, right? Mm-hmm. And then we'll have the guys from Can't Sit Still. We were talking earlier about All Them Witches and like the band you just recommended and like titles to, like, sometimes the title just fucking works. Great title for a podcast. The premise is for their podcast is brilliant. They put like a couple topics in a jar, each one of them.
Right.
And then while they're recording, they pull out of the jar a topic and they just discuss it and just kind of throw it back and forth. And it's a brilliant. Mm-hmm. And they're a local podcast.
Simple and effective, yeah.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that.
Yep.
And maybe, hopefully, we'll get to do another. We'll record one with us, and then hopefully we'll get to be on their show. What else do we got here? After that, when we get back together, all four of us, I want to get back to our Marvel retrospective. But also, in that same episode, I want to squeeze in a Ask Matt Anything segment.
Nice.
So that'll be coming.
Did we make it to Avengers 1?
We recorded a little bit of that, and I've held that back, and I'll add that to the next recording we all do when we return to that retrospective on the MCU movies. Because Black Widow should be kind of coming around the corner at some point. I saw a trailer for that when I went to see Tenet. What else we got here?
I think it's November, right? Black Widow and that.
Yeah, movie. November. Black Widow and the final Daniel Craig James Bond is supposed to be coming out that month.
Okay.
The tentative movie that's supposed to come out real soon is Wonder Woman, but they're kind of like not sure whether or not they're going to release that or not. I think because it's Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers just put out Tenet, and Tenet did okay, but probably not as good as it would have on a normal year. So maybe that's the deciding factor with Wonder Woman. They really want to get as much out of this Wonder, because this Wonder Woman movie looks fucking expensive.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. So, were you the one that told me that Tenet was shot totally on IMAX cameras?
Yeah, yeah.
Once I heard that, I was like, that's why they wanted it in the theaters so bad.
That makes complete sense, right. Yeah. So I'm wondering if that's kind of the deciding factor for this Wonder Woman movie. But anyway, so yeah, we got that to look forward to, the MCU retrospective that we're going to continue doing. Ask Matt Anything segment we're going to do. And please send in questions for Matt, just about anything. They can be ridiculous questions. They can be serious questions. You can do that by sending us an email at our Gmail address, which is mgtwenty14@gmail.com. I'll put that in the show notes. And then let's see, a shout out to the website. We've got a feed of the podcast there. I've got some artwork that I put up. The website is mindgrenadestudios.com. And I think that's it. All right, so that's been episode 228 of the Mind Grenade Podcast. I've been Hector. For Jason, Matt, and Ian, saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye, Ian.